hair flying. The trooper didn't hesitate, and he didn't call for help from his pal in the other fork of the tunnel. As soon as he got free of the block, he charged after the albino teenager.
You're fucked, you albino freak!
Jack actually had to slow down so the soldier could keep him in sight as he ducked into one of the crevices at the end of the tunnel fork. He didn't want him to lose hope and give up. On the other hand, he didn't want to give him a clear shot with a pulse rifle. The passage ahead ran straight for maybe 30 yards before splitting off into narrower corridors. Jack knew where each went, having out of habit already memorized various routes through the underground maze. His red eyes, which had limitations in bright sunlight, worked well in the green gloom of the shafts. He saw the other slaves coming long before they saw him. He saw their surprise when they blinked and found him running, bagless and full tilt, down the passage straight at them.
What the hell's going on?
I'm out of here before.
A beam 50 times brighter than their badges sliced through the darkness of the cavern.
Let's go before they kill us.
The shot was high and to the right, just past Jack's shoulder. Ha! The draftsman's line of green light hit the wall in front of him and melted it instantaneously. There was no red glow of the heat-up stage, no incandescent center before it began to drip. At the laser's impact point, the glass immediately liquefied, and the damage spread out around the initial hole, like ice melting around a blowtorch flame. There was no steam, but there was smoke. Harsh, throat-rasping smoke. The liquid glass poured down the wall and melded with the floor as it quickly cooled. Jack suddenly saw how the invaders had cut the tunnels leading to the high rad areas. With their shoulder-fired energy weapons, they could carve out immense caverns in the glass in a matter of minutes. As Jack raced for the turn in the corridor just ahead, another slave appeared around the bend, lugging his ore bag. The trooper fired again, and again he missed high, perhaps because he was shooting on the run.
Shit! You suck!
Fuck you!
Fuck you!
This time, the pulse opened a 2-foot-wide hole near the top of the wall. A slave was caught in a molten glass waterfall that poured down over his head and back. He managed to stand for a split second as it cascaded over him. Then he slowly sank to the floor, his lungs scoured out. As he slumped, his flesh burnt into flame. By the time Jack reached the turn, all that remained of the man were the charred bones of his legs, which stuck out of the smoking blob of glass. Jack ducked around the corner and sprinted. The tunnel went through a series of zigzags before a crevice on the left offered him the detour he was looking for. He slipped through the crack and followed it as it doubled back to join the main shaft. The trooper couldn't fire at him. He was 100 feet behind, and his target was not only out of sight, but pulling away. Jack knew his real trouble was going to come when he got back to the sledge loading zone at the end of the side tunnel. There were no sharp turns in the shaft there to give him cover, and there was a long straightaway before he reached the fork. All he could do was pour on the speed, try to get as big a lead as possible. Head bobbing, arms pumping, he burst through the end of the crevice, vaulting past groups of slaves who stopped loading their ore and craned their necks around to follow him. Ahead was the hard glare of the Klieg lights. He dashed madly for it.
Look out!
Jack veered away from the tunnel wall just as a thin beam squealed past him. Trigger pinned, the soldier swung the laser rifle back, trying to slice him in two. Jack threw himself down and rolled. Greta unbuckled her torso armor and pulled her sleeveless t-shirt over her head.
How is it, Miro?
A lot worse. See for yourself.
Greta looked in the hand mirror her sister changeling held up. The small red patch had spread from her shoulder to the middle of her back and down her arm. It oozed clear, sticky fluid like a second-degree burn. Even more disturbing, the infection was starting to impact movement and nerve function on the right side of her body.
Shit!
Miro put down the mirror and picked up a tube of topical lotion. She carefully applied it to the irritated area.
That stuff doesn't seem to be doing any good, does it?
It isn't helping mine either, Dreda. It just keeps spreading and spreading.
Yes!
Huth opened the door and stuck his head in. He had shaved his face and his head. He was dressed in clean gray fatigues. His gaze immediately dropped to take in the small, hard-nippled breasts that Dreda didn't bother to conceal.
What is it? What do you have for me?
I have some preliminary results. I repeat, they are preliminary, but I think we can draw some reliable conclusions from them.
Dr. Huth slipped into the room, and when his focus again dropped to her chest, Greta angrily grabbed her t-shirt and pulled it on. Men, she thought. Hardwired stupidity was standard equipment.
Let's have it, Doctor.
The organism that's causing the problem is everywhere.
Everywhere?
Correction. It's everywhere I've been able to examine in the last 5 hours. I found it inside and outside the domes. It's inside the wags and gyros. It's in all of the battlesuits. It's in the soil surrounding the compound.
Do you have a treatment for it that works? The ointment Jan gave us does nothing.
Huth reached in his pocket and took out a white plastic tube.
This formulation will heal your irritations. It won't solve the problem, however.
Explain.
This organism will adapt to the formulation. That is guaranteed. In days, in perhaps hours, it will produce offspring that are immune.
So find another formula.
Ultimately, that route leads to total disaster. If we attempt to keep one-upping this organism, in the end all we'll succeed in doing is selectively breeding a generation that cannot be stopped by any means at our disposal.
There's nothing we can do?
As I said, there are temporary measures.
How widespread is the infection now?
Almost everyone has it. The transgenic females and the male troopers. The Deathlanders do not seem to be affected, however.
Because the organism's native to this planet?
Evidence on the organism's origin is uncertain. It's difficult to tell whether it's a native species or whether it has spread locally since your arrival.
You mean we brought it with us? I thought it was unlike anything on our world.
That's true, but it doesn't eliminate the possibility that it changed, either in transit or after it came here. There's also the possibility that your treatments made you susceptible to a species native to Deathlands.
But the male troopers didn't have the procedure.
If the engineered virus wasn't completely burned out of your systems, it's possible that you infected the troopers, or the organism, or both. Genes could have been inadvertently transferred.
Dreda recalled her haste to get out of level 4 quarantine. Warnings of whitecoats unheeded.
At present, this organism is only attacking the epidermis. But as the colonies grow on infected individuals, they'll begin to penetrate deeper. If they get past the muscle and into the body cavity and internal organs, death is the only foreseeable outcome.
We didn't go through hell to be defeated by something as small and insignificant as this. Can't we sterilize the environment?
We can clean the battlesuits and the dome's interiors and wags, but we can't keep the organisms out because they're already too well established locally.
What about you? Have you got it too?
Ah, that's a critical point. Currently, I'm infection-free, and I've been here much longer than you. That adds support to the idea that it was transported here with your forces, or that your susceptibility and that of the males is the result of the transgenic treatments.
You don't have it? Everyone else does, but you don't?
You do understand the implications, I hope.
What do you mean?
If you brought the organism along with you, you may well have left it behind. Given the thing's generation time, the changes probably occurred before you made your exit. The same thing that's happening here could be happening on our Earth.
You mean this thing could conceivably wipe out all of humanity on our world?
Based on my preliminary calculations, it could have already done so.
We solved the population problem by accident? Too bad there's nothing there to return to. A dead world full of dead people.
I think you have to face an unpleasant choice.
And that is?
Having to leave this planet.
Leave the planet? Why not just leave the area? Go to the other side of this continent, or go to another continent.
Like sterilization, that's only a short-term solution. This organism and its spores spread on the wind, and on other hosts who can tolerate it, like the Deathlanders. Or the native insects, birds, wild animals, there's no end to it.
You're saying in a month of contact we've already infected the whole damned planet?
No, I'm saying that in time, eventually the whole planet will be infected. There's no way to stop it. The longer you delay leaving this reality, the bigger the risk that you won't ever be able to leave it. Let me stress that death by this means will not be quick or pleasant. As the organism devours skin and flesh, there will be secondary infections of the open wounds by bacteria.
Can't you do anything about it? Give me one reason, Dr. Genius, why I shouldn't send you back to the mines!
I have done something. I have given you the information you need to survive. I've bought you a few hours with the new ointment. We can confine and successfully treat the problem prior to jumping from this reality and eliminate it afterward. That's the best I can do under the circumstances, I'm afraid.
A few hours?
At best.
But... But there isn't enough energy on hand to move the entire operation. We'd have to abandon most of our equipment, because we couldn't maintain the corridor long enough to get it all through. There'd be no time to send drones through first, to lay the groundwork.